everyone, welcome. Jim Phoenix here. Hope you're doing well. On our very next combo box, I just want to give a big shout out to Arrow. Brand new streaming, awesome horror with a little artistic twist. For the next combo box, boy, do we have a surprise for you. The Bell Witch by none other than Momo director Seth Breedlove. That's right. So if you love this one, go watch Momo, go watch Arrow. It's all goodness. Thanks, everyone. Hope you enjoy the show.
You feel its edges in your mind before they even reach your fingers. There's a tremor inside it. Dare you open it? Too late. You already have. Welcome to Haunted MTL's Combo Box. J.M. Brannick.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Combo Box. I am your host, J.M. Brannick. I am here with my friend, Audrey Three.
I am here.
And we're here to give a review on the upcoming Mark of the Bell Witch by Seth Breedlove, which is part of his Small Town Monsters series. And if you've read any of the stuff that I have on the website, you will know that I wrote about another small town monster, Momo.
Momo,
who loved to...
the Missouri monster.
Who loved to eat peanut butter sandwiches.
And dogs.
But also peanut butter sandwiches.
Yes.
And was an alien.
Yes, and an alien. That was important.
So we saw this new movie coming out, which is Mark of the Bell Witch. Have you ever heard of the Bell Witch before seeing this movie?
Yes, I have heard of the Bell Witch. I didn't know much about the Bell Witch, but I have heard of it. We're close enough since it's in Tennessee that I've heard, you know, of the Bell Witch and the Bell family, but I didn't know much about it before I watched this, and man, do I know a lot now.
Yeah, you would say you're probably a folklorist now, right?
Yeah. Not as much as the folklorist in the movie, but we're getting closer.
We have a few points that we would like to make about the film. Let's just go right off the bat and say, did you like this movie?
Actually, I did. I thought it was very informative. I thought the acting was good. Like, it was mostly just a reenactment of what happened to the Bells during their Bell Witch phase. And
that phase, that old phase.
It was a phase that they didn't grow out of.
Like bell bottoms. MC Hammer fans.
Emo phase.
Yeah, it actually documented quite a bit. I was surprised at how in-depth they went with it.
Yeah, like it was an hour and a half and they filled it up completely with stuff in that hour and a half.
And honestly, the quality too is as good as something that you would see on like the History Channel or something like that. Like it was better production, I would say, than watching Momo. But we'll get to that because that's one of my points. So we will get to that later. So the brief synopsis, we won't go too much into it because we recommend that you do go and watch this when it does come out. But it's about the Bell family and the strange going-ons in their house, which starts with like knocking that they... don't go outside to investigate ever. But like knockings in the house, these ghostly whispers, which culminates into this haunting. And what I learned from the movie is that, because I always thought it was like the ghost of a witch or something like that. But they put into perspective that during this time period, witches were basically weird goings-ons. So,
which is the, what was it, early 1800s?
Yes. So partly like sometimes you would hear in these stories like the witch be called a goblin or a spirit or, you know, a demon. So the witch in and of itself is not really a witch as much as this entity. So we get to know this entity and basically their goings on with the Bell family and a little bit of what this thing might have been. They did go through a few examples of what they thought, including the ghost of this outcast called, I believe, Kate Batts.
let's get the dead wife of a neighbor, I believe. Which the ghost said like it was Kate Batts at one point, and but the ghost said a lot of things.
The ghost said, "Man, she said so much," and that was part of it too. Is like this ghost like to chat.
She Yeah, but here's the thing though: they broke the cardinal rule, which is don't invite them in, and they were sitting there going, "Hey, talk to us. Why don't?" They invited priests into the house, and they were like, and the priests were like, "What do you want?" And so, yeah, so that's like the cardinal rule if you've ever watched, like, you know, one of those haunting shows is like, do not invite them in. No Ouija boards. No, none of that.
Oh yeah, they were like, "Come on in.
We yeah, wanna, they were.
We want late night chats," and she was all about that.
She was. She was. This was a very like active haunting going on. This wasn't just like little teeny knocks on the doors and like things getting knocked over.
Or chairs being stacked for whatever reason.
No.
I always thought that one was weird. No, this she was there. This is like
an up in your face ghost.
And I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I did too.
Loved every minute of it. We have a theory too.
Yeah, we'll get into our theory.
And if anybody wants to make a Kickstarter for this theory, we'll probably give $20 for it.
Sure. Anyway. When we examine the legend with our theory, you're welcome to.
Put it through a different lens. You know, that's kind of what's going on through a lot of like movies now, is that they'll take it through a different POV. And you know, I'm just saying, this is very ripe for it. So we have the Bells, which is a wife and a husband. I'm sorry, I forget their names. William Bell.
William Bell.
Sounds great. Sounds like a great name. And then his wife, and then their children. Mm-hmm. And they have a young daughter. She seems to be where a lot of the haunting kind of first moves towards. But later on, the ghost actually seems to really like the wife.
Yeah.
And chills out with her a lot.
And they like sit and they talk a lot, I guess.
You know, late night chats with the ghost. You know, it's something you do. And she hates William Bell. Like, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This ghost hates William Bell to the max and says that she will kill him. And does she? You'll have to watch to find out. Let's go over some of our brief points. My first point is that I liked that they talked about slavery, but they glossed over it a bit.
Exactly, yeah. Because the Bell family were slave owners, but they tried to make it sound better, like, well, they only had a couple slaves. I'm like, no.
They were BFFs.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Yeah, I did like that they had a Black historian come to talk about some of that, of like the context, the slaves of the Bell family. But then it was like, okay, moving on.
Kind of, yeah. Like they were all like, oh, how could this be happening to such like, you know, upright citizens of the community? But I'm like, they're slave owners.
Yeah, that's one thing that kind of ran through with me too, is like, I kind of sympathized with this ghost because the Bells seem kind of like dicks. Like they kept saying like, oh,
at times, yes.
But like there was a lot of shady business dealings going on with the Bells. Maybe they weren't as cool as people thought they were. And so maybe that's why the ghost was like, I'll hang around these guys. But she hated him, but she had the ghost had a very tight attachment to the wife. I think she called her like the best person in the world, basically.
Yeah, at one point. Yeah, it was something like
super BFFs. And honestly, I also enjoyed when the witch went into basically counter apologetics with all the priests that would come over. She was basically like a Reddit atheist to all the priests that came over. She'd be like, well, pfft.
Yeah.
And at one point, I guess she met Andrew Jackson.
Oh, that's right. Because Andrew Jackson was just coming through the neighborhood and
again,
like, he held him up. And I'm like, this is where one of our theories where the Bell Witch hates, you know, slavery. And
I'm just saying she's definitely the hero.
Yeah.
She likes to gossip. Like, this is kind of like, and this is kind of where we get into our Kickstarter idea.
Oh, here we go. Which is not as crazy as it sounds. Honestly, once you watch this movie, I don't know how you can watch this movie without coming to the same conclusion that we did.
You know, I don't think Mr. Breedlove set out for this conclusion, but, you know, again, kudos to this point of view. Bell Witch, possibly lesbian.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
She was kind of like your gay aunt who's just like, he's not good enough for you, hon. By the way, how's your mom doing? They're not sisters in this, though.
I do find it interesting that, like, I think the spirit always sort of presented itself as a woman.
Yes.
Like, there was never a time where you might be, like, you know, a guy or something. No, it was always a woman.
Throughout the entire narrative. So that is kind of interesting in and of itself, too, that we have, because the small town monster series has a lot of monsters and stuff like that, which arguably could be male or female, but most time present as male. So this was a kind of a welcome difference to see. It was kind of endearing sometimes, too, how she would, like, she was just basically in their lives, kind of like a 90s sitcom.
Yeah, well, at one point she, like, made friends with a neighbor, like a bachelor dude that was just, and they just hang out and chat. They had a little falling out, I guess. But before that, like, they were pretty good friends, mostly. Yeah.
So I appreciate the Bell Witch a lot more since this movie. I think she's a really interesting character.
Yeah, that's mostly what I got out of this film is, like, she's interesting and I'd like to know more about her if there is more to know. Because, yeah, like, the movie covers it pretty well, but I'm like, you know, I'd go and read some books about her and, like, maybe check out the, like, some more from the historians that they have in the film. Because I think they had all written books about her, too.
I would like to see more fictionalized accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Kickstarter. If somebody wants to do this, I'll give $20. I want to see Bell Witch lesbian, maybe with the wife. Like, there's that attraction, but they can't because she's a ghost.
Are you saying you're, like, wanting to make a Kickstarter for a Bell Witch lesbian porno?
I'm not saying porno. I'm saying a romance, a tasteful nude romance.
Oh, okay, tasteful romance. Okay, okay.
You know, but they can't. They can't because, you know, she's married to this dude and Bell Witch is a ghost. And how could she leave her family for a ghost? I mean, that's a lot. Drama. Lots of drama.
There is a lot of drama in this story. I mean,
another point that I want to make is that we had kind of as our narrator, we had this very cute folklorist. I couldn't get his name. I couldn't find it, unfortunately, on the IMDb page. That needs to be updated. But he's kind of like the narrator. And I like him, but he's no Lyle Blackburn. You know, in Momo, we had Lyle Blackburn.
We did have the other historian in this film with the hat that was very, very...
Yeah, he didn't take no shit.
No, yeah, the no shit.
he was great. He was a history teacher.
He was a very down-to-earth kind of dude.
He was, and I appreciated that. But I did miss Lyle Blackburn in the hat, mm-hmm, and the slow motion moving. And
I will say the one thing that bugged me about the reenactment, which was all, it was actually filmed very well, and mm-hmm, the cinematography and everything. And dang it, there was one jump scare that got me.
It did.
You can vouch for that one. The girl they cast to play Betsy, the younger daughter who was supposed to be 12. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry to say, she was like, the actress is closer to, like, you know, her mid-20s.
She was finishing grad school, basically.
Yeah, probably. More than likely, yeah. But that was the only thing. Everything else, like, the actors did a good job. I thought, like, the haunting scenes were pretty good because it seemed like kind of a, not a typical haunted house kind of scenario, because at the one time, like, I made the point, like, well, this is, you know, the early 1800s, so they can't just, like, pick up and move because this is, like, the only house they got.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
We were basically stuck with that house.
Yeah. And the ghost.
And the ghost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like that text scrawl. There was a text scroll.
Yeah, there was like 5 minutes, like, where they were just reading
an account. Yeah,
one of the sons that had written a book about, like, all this, and It lasted forever.
It was a long one. It was a long one. It was one.
Very, very long. You know, he just kept scrolling and they kept reading it.
And then kept thinking it was done. And then it would keep checking, going.
Like, I'm like, I think there's like 15 minutes left. Is it going to be all this to the very end? Luckily, it ended. It just, it felt like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the only part of the movie I had a problem with. The rest was very interesting.
The only other part that I had a problem with is that, unlike Momo, like, again, this was really good, really well acted, well written, well edited, except for that last scene in the echoey building. I didn't like that, but it's a nitpicky thing. But the thing is that I felt like it lost a lot of heart from what, like, Momo was saying in its message. You know, and the beauty of the Small Town Monster series is that it is small towns. It brings you to these small towns and shows you a little bit of beauty that exists there, encapsulated within these monsters and these stories and these fables.
Yeah, it brings the history of, like, this town that you've probably never heard of.
Right.
And it, like, it brings it to your attention and be like, hey, there's cool stuff that happened here too.
And there's beauty to it. There's a real Americana to it that a lot of times that we miss in these shows that are just focused on the monster and not the small town aspect. And I felt like, unfortunately, with this one, I didn't feel that as much with this story. It was very focused on the Bell Witch, and I did appreciate that, but it didn't, I feel, connect as well as the one with Momo did to connect the town with the legend.
Oh, I'll give it to that one. Momo happened in, like, what was it? The 70s. Yeah, the 70s. So I'm like, you know, there's still people alive that like when Momo was happening. And so there was a lot of people to talk to in that one. And in this one, you know, it happened in the early 1800s. So who are you going to talk to about
that? With Momo, it was like the message was these monsters keep the town alive. Our memories keep the town alive. Mm-hmm. You know, and our towns are, these small towns are dying out. And it's kind of like a glimpse of that in this little encapsulated gem that we can appreciate and we can understand a little bit more. Whereas this one, it was mostly just the Bell Witch, which again, I loved. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that I missed that a little bit. There was a little bit more heart to Momo than this one. This one was a lot better production, a lot better, like, shiny, glossy, put it on the History Channel. Beautiful. Mwah.
Yeah, it had the lovely illustrations of the hauntings.
But yeah, it just lost a little bit of heart for me. But maybe Momo is just always in my heart. And
that could be. He's always in mine.
Which leads us to our next, talking about monsters. And Mr. Breedlove, if you are listening, we have some suggestions that we will also put like $20 in a Kickstarter for you. My suggestion is, I'm taking it old school when me and John Combo used to run the Combo Box, and he talked about Big Brown, which is a giant beaver. But if you listen to the story, there's a lot to it. I mean, the U.S. government got involved to get rid of this giant-ass beaver. And there's dynamite involved. And there's a lot going on in the story. So
it would make a very good, like, small-town monster.
It would be perfect. Mwah. Perfect. Audrey, what would your next monster project for Mr. Breedlove be?
Okay, so mine is actually called Sinkhole Sam, and he's basically a giant worm from Kansas.
Do tell.
And that's about it. Yeah, he's a giant worm. It lives in caverns below freshwater lakes. Apparently people, like, think it might be like some sort of dinosaur that was, like, extinct and then it came back or something.
Is it just a tremor?
And yeah, it could be a tremor. It could be like one of those graboids from Tremors. We don't know.
We don't
this
know.
This is why we need a movie.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. It's not as exciting as the giant beaver.
Nothing could be. You don't come back from that. So Mr. Breedlove, next giant beaver and Sinkhole Sam.
Or maybe the Utah monolith, if you want to be current. And find out what happened to that thing.
Dealer's choice. As a recap, I highly promote that you watch this movie. It was a lot of fun. I think it gives a lot of explanation to who the Bell Witch was, kind of just the history of it, how she became, how she progressed, how she was really into counter-apologetics and late night talks and gossip. And honestly,
what a very fun like ghost.
Yes. I would like to write some of her dialogue. She is a fun little entity. And you know, honestly, this movie made me appreciate that.
It did. It really did. Because most ghosts, you know, they just hang around and sort of, you know, do a few jump scares or whatever, but they aren't really have much personality to them. And the Bell Witch had a lot of personality.
So much. She was so a character. Do you have anything that you'd like to add?
Watch Momo. Yeah. Watch that one too. That's pretty dang good.
You know, just watch all of the small town monster
movies. Yeah, you can.
Movies. Yeah. You know, a lot of them are on Prime right now. Like I said, this one's coming out in December, so go ahead and pre-order it. We are looking forward to seeing what Mr. Breedlove has for us in the future.
I'm looking forward to it. I am.
So we thank you, and we hope that you watch. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
Not right now, no.
Fair enough. I would like to plug our website. We are going to be hopefully doing some...
Oh, yeah, we do have that, don't we?
We do.
That's what we're doing this for.
Guess what? We're writers. We always forget that until the very end. But we're going to be hopefully writing like 12 to 13, we're not sure, pieces for the holiday season. So we hope that you look forward to that on our website. They're going to be coming from a lot of us writers through Haunted MTL. So...
I remembered something to plug.
Oh my god.
So I will say this, if you like these small town monster series, I was going to do a series about hometown horror movies, like horror movies that were filmed in your hometown.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
We hope that you have a very safe and happy holiday season, and we will see you next time.